Services, Lavazzi and Boom1.co.uk present the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast, episode 279. Beethoven simply doesn't exist. Oh, I'm Adam, by the way, and here's Debbie Melrose.
It's bigger on the inside, it's bigger on the inside, it's bigger on the inside.
Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
Sorry about that. Had a prawn sandwich. Might have been off.
And Mary Lang.
I know that look. I do that look.
And before we get on and talk about, what's this episode called again?
Before the flood,
yes. Before we talk about that, a couple of bit of housekeepings to do. One is this is the last episode of the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast that I'm going to edit on Sony ACID because for future reference, I will now be using Final Cut Pro X, which is a video editing program. But I do so much audio editing on it that I thought, hang on, I might as well edit the podcast on it. Because it's got
our five listeners just nearly died.
That degree of precision. So this is the last time I will not be using a PC to edit the show. Or if you want to look at it another way, it's the first time I will be editing. No, it's not the first time I've done. I'm not using a little old PC anymore. This is all Mac now.
Yay! So,
it's which all means we'll start having Final Cut Pro X. Problems.
No. Final Cut Pro X is amazing editing tool. I spent a lot of money on it. I might as well use it as an audio editing tool. Isn't that good, Kirby?
It's very good.
If it's not PC, I don't trust it.
I don't care.
Actually, also, I trust Linux even better.
Also, do you now? Also, Deb went to a bridal show today, not you, Deb, the other Deb, Alpha Deb, and to get some bookings for next year's wedding situation. And one of our friends and rivals, Mr. Martin Wilkins, talked about one of my blogs that I post on Isle of Wight Brides, saying it was crap. Oh. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to post that blog on the 20 Megabyte page and seeing if everybody else also considers it to be crap.
Well, he's a nice friend.
No, he's constructive criticism. I think we found out later that the reason why he thought it was crap was for the content of the photos rather than the quality of the photos themselves. But
was it just pieces of cake?
What do you mean?
Was it just pictures of pieces of cake?
No, it's a picture of a couple and their wedding day. I've just posted it. Don't knock microphones. It sounds awful.
It wasn't me.
That wasn't me.
I'm adjusting my mic. I'm sorry.
You could have done that 15 minutes ago, couldn't you?
Excuse me?
You could have done that 15 minutes ago, couldn't you?
Stop it.
Well, you could have done. This week, we're going to be looking at
Before the Flood.
And see how I threw my voice there? It was being crossed. I know it's not very far.
All the way next door.
Yeah. The episode starts with the Doctor talking to, well, is he himself, or is he indeed talking to us?
I don't know. Talking to Bennett and O'Donnell.
You thought he was talking to Bennett and O'Donnell, did you?
Yeah, when I watched this the first time, that's what I thought.
Yeah, because they all went off into the TARDIS, didn't they? And it was, I thought that's, it had just taken off from where he was talking to them.
Yeah, I didn't really consider that possibility.
He's doing the whole Happy Christmas thing.
Yeah.
Right, yeah, so, okay. Nice to have had some sort of confirmation that he's talking to Bennett and O'Donnell, but I can accept that. I didn't consider that.
About that and we're eavesdropping.
Yeah. I didn't consider that to be a possibility, but yeah, it's one I like.
He's doing the same thing he was doing in Listen, maybe.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Talking of Listen... yes, the new, well, the one-off version of the theme tune. I absolutely love that.
Brilliant.
We won't hear it again.
Oh my gosh, I wish they would make that
It was awesome.
Yes.
It really made my ears up, yeah.
Oh, I loved it.
Thank you. Glad you agree with me. Nice that I'm right. Right, yes.
Yeah, I wrote, actually, in my notes, I wrote, guitar intro music literally rocks.
Yes.
I did read the titles at the end.
So if it literally rocks, is it igneous, sedimentary, or what?
Really, Debbie, was it really worth drawing Beth to laugh at that particular comment?
I just couldn't
learn to be more discerning, Debbie.
I should have expected it. That was that kind of laugh.
Anyway.
I am literally likely to take things literally.
I know.
Yeah, anyway, can I?
There she goes again, laughing at something not funny.
I'm coffeed up. Oh, calm down.
Does coffee make you laugh then?
It's made me a bit hyperactive.
That's unusual. When we get out of the title sequence into the shot of them having landed in this place, there's a beautiful focus drawing shot where the focus draws across the landscape and into the background. I love doing shots like that. And if you watch some of my wedding video montages on the APV services page, you'll see what I'm talking about. Yes, mm-hmm. That's at www.apvservices.zenfolio.com, listeners, where you can see my other apparently crap photography and videography. And make your own decision as to what you think of it, Mr. Martin Wilkins. Anyway, right. And I shot his daughter's weddings. Well, mind you, I don't think he's criticising my videography. It's just my photography.
Pinting a little spleen here.
Yes, you do seem rather...
No, he's not. I don't think he's actually... He says, basically, I shouldn't have used this particular blog as an advert for my work because of the couple in the photos aren't particularly what he would consider to be...
photogenic,
something like that. Yeah, that's one.
Oh,
word.
That's mean.
That is mean.
He does take pictures of couples like this, as he says, but he doesn't use them in an advertising base. Well, I think I like my customers to look what they look like, and if people like the pictures of my beautiful couples, I'll post those. If they like the pictures of my ugly couples, not saying this couple are ugly, I'll post those as well.
But, yes,
that's really quite mean. Yeah,
but I would have thought people who look at blogs online, if you're not particularly good looking and you see a blog of a couple that aren't particularly good looking, you'll think, oh well, they can take pictures of people that aren't particularly good looking and make them good looking.
Yes.
Which is
stop
what
it.
I feel
right
I've done with these
hole.
Photos.
Stop it.
No, I'm not saying I wasn't digging in a hole until you make that comment. Anyway, the focus draws across the landscape to the background where we see what looks like a bit of a Russian sort of base, I suppose you'd call it, wouldn't you?
And it was great, yeah.
No, it's a town.
Little town, yeah.
Yes. The doctor actually made a reference which nearly became my quote. Now, just coming up here now, and because I can't pause the subtitles, I'll have to be out there. They lost their breakfast on their first trip. You seem to know an awful lot about me. I used to be in military intelligence. I was demoted for dangling a colleague out of the window in anger. Is there any other way to dangle someone out of the window?
Yeah.
No, that's not the quote. I was waiting for the bit. I've missed it somewhere along the line. I'll have to go back a bit. But I like that particular... Wait, what's going on here? I'm getting confused. Debbie, the slickness of this podcast is diminishing.
Why?
By every second. Because there's a particular quote I wanted to read out. And every time I...
Demoted for dangling someone out of the...
No, not that particular one. It's gone... I've rewound it and it's gone right back into the title. Hang on, where's Bennett? We need to get going.
Yeah,
oh, he's
Rose
still
Martha,
throwing up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Be quiet. Oh, now I've lost it again now. Somehow I doubt that Rose or Martha or Amy lost their breakfast on their first trip. That was the quote.
That's the quote.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, can we start the show again? Hello and welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who. Yes, so... Yeah, it looks a bit like Russia. And also, when the camera's panning around the place, you see these dummies in various situations. And
Artans. I was thinking,
yes, exactly.
Yeah, they do look like them.
Right, I said to them, it's Artans! But it wasn't, obviously.
I did like that, yeah. There was a bit where, I'm skipping ahead, O'Donnell ends up in some kind of lounge, quite a sinister-looking lounge, with the mannequins just sat about doing lounge things.
Yeah, part of the focus draws from the background into the foreground to... bring a mannequin into focus makes you think oh, hello
is Autons.
It yeah because the doctor quickly explains that this is 1980 and the Cold War was in full force and this is just a practice area for fighting Ruskies. Is that the correct term?
which since Kirby pointed out last week I am so amused at the idea that they don't get any sunlight, but that, but where that whole village is set is not that far down.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just too high.
I use the term Ruskies because it reminded me of what the spitting image of Ronald Reagan used to say.
Oh, yes.
Oh, you've got a spitting image, have you? You've seen a spitting image, have you? In the
1980s?
I have, yeah.
You have,
have you? I have. Well, no, you have. But I used to love spitting image. I thought it was fantastic. The one that made me laugh the most is when they had the spitting image of Margaret Thatcher and the spitting image of Ronald Reagan. And one of the spitting images was licking the other one's spitting image up a part of the body that I can't really mention on this show. But out of shot, obviously, because that was, implying that... anyway, so, yeah, we see Dennis Penis turn up in a black hat. And this is at this point that I realise that it's that same race that was in the previous Toby Whithouse story. So it's a Toby Whithouse bringing back his own invention, which I quite like. Yes, it's the race of people that David Walliams played.
Yes,
God Complex, was it?
Is it Tivoli? Yeah.
Tivolian, or something like that. So,
now, did anyone catch the what Prentice had on his business card? I posted a screenshot.
For God's sake, Kirby, you've got so much time on your hands.
Now, what did it say?
It says Albert 20 Prentice.
Megabyte Doctor Who podcast. .podbean.com.
It says Albert Prentice, Universal Funeral Director, may the remorse be with you.
Oh yes, that was it. That was a question then.
It goes by so quickly on the TV screen that you don't get all of it.
Not a very good funeral director considering the body he was conveying was not even dead.
Yes, that was.
It's getting better.
Right. I'd like to point out this particular episode is timey-wimey. I love timey-wimey episodes.
No, really?
Well, it tries to be timey-wimey.
It is timey-wimey. Thank you, Debbie. Careful, my button is poised above this.
Yes, I know.
Fortunately for you, it didn't play in time. Oh, it did eventually. Yeah, so the play by Paul Kay, who played a character called Dennis Penis, a comedy character that in the 1990s used to pick on celebrities and take the mickey out of them. If you go onto YouTube and search Dennis Penis, that's two N's, by the way, in Penis, not Dennis. Well, it is actually in both, isn't it? Then you'll see some rather funny
Dennis
films.
Dennis tends to have two N's unless it's Dennis Bloodknock, which is one N.
Oh, this is a double N.
Yes, it's two N's because it's not
like Dennis Penis.
Because if it was one, it would be Dennis Penis.
An R-rated podcaster.
That's part of the body, Mary. You're in a medical career, so you should accept this. Have a look at that because it's cringeworthy but funny, especially when he picks on some American celebrities.
Who don't get it.
Yes, they don't get it, so it's really funny. And he doesn't hold back. He's brilliant. But he's an actor. So, yeah. But that's the first time I used to be on a programme presented by two lesbian women in the 1990s on BBC Two. The Sunday Show. I used to love the Sunday Show. That was also Paul Kay was on that as well, wasn't he, Debbie? Before he became famous. And he's been in Doctor Who.
Paul
Kay. Right, maybe it's not Paul Kay. Paul Kay's this bloke, isn't it?
Yeah, Paul Kay is Dennis Penis.
Yeah, I'm thinking about the other one. Sorry.
Which
the other
one?
Kay bloke.
Peter Kay.
Yeah, that's the one. So I'll help you out.
You mean the Absorbaloff?
Yes. His first appearance was on the Sunday Show.
He shared a childhood with me, Peter Kay.
No, he shared a sort of early part of his career on the Sunday Show, which is quite an interesting bit. They're both called Kay. And they're both on the Sunday Show and they've both been in Doctor Who. Come on, Deb, that's quite impressive for me, isn't it?
That is very impressive for you, okay.
Sorry, but yeah, it's nice that it's a shame in some ways that Paul Kay, who's actually a very good actor, we only actually get to see him acting for about 5 minutes in the whole of this story, apart from when he's playing
Game
the ghost.
Of Thrones as well, wasn't he?
Is he?
Well, yeah. The other thing is apparently Colin McFarlane mm-hmm. is known for his voice, and he says two lines in the first episode.
Right. Anyway, after a bit of a conflab between the Doctor and Prentice and we cut back to the future. That's the new Back to the Future short coming out soon.
Apparently it's, you know, the date that they came forward to is, what is it, next Thursday?
Yes, and quite brilliantly, Doc Brown looks exactly the same as he did when they made him up to look old. Be quiet, Kirby.
He looks terribly old. It's very depressing.
Oh, my.
Careful, Kirby. We're getting them for everything.
Anyway, yes, there's a mural on the wall. You didn't mention this last week.
Yes, we did.
I was interested in seeing this mural with the little characters that are sat in the ship. Mm. I'm trying to see if they are anybody that we should, recognise, simply because I think the next story is a Viking story. Is this a Viking ship in the picture?
And I mentioned it last week because I kind of think that the serpent creature that we've seen in the previews is the same creature. And then you had an argument with me about not watching previews or something.
Yeah.
I never argue with Kirby. I just tell you.
It's a disagreement.
I just tell you where you're right or wrong. Mainly wrong. Excuse me. I just drank too much Coke all at the same time. Right. So, yeah, we're back in the...
Notice that the three... people in that boat have the three colors from Star Trek for their shirt. For their
why would
shirt
this
color.
Is not Star Trek? This is Doctor Who.
No,
yes, but I noticed that. It's a little reference, wasn't it?
If you
it's
say
another
so.
Reference, just like the shuttlecraft.
Yeah.
Okay, it's half a shuttlecraft if you look, and it's black. Now we've seen it from the outside.
The fact that Clara's moping. And Lan says, "Well, what do you usually say to people?"
Yeah,
a really good bit of scene when the Doctor walks. Sorry, the Ghost Doctor walks through the window,
saying names rather than the sword.
And I love the fact that the Doctor and Clara communicate via FaceTime. It's really cool. Of course, her phone is obviously an iPhone, but
he kept flipping the screen as well, like we would.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
It's obviously an iPhone, but they've sort of slightly doctored it to make it not quite an iPhone, which is quite interesting.
People were on Twitter yesterday complaining that it's a very old iPhone.
Oh, God. It's not that old, is it? It's more like an iPod, actually.
I have no idea, because why would I pay attention to Apple products?
Well, if it weren't for Apple products, mine, Kirby, say, we wouldn't be actually doing a podcast. Oh, he's gone all quiet again. Because this podcast goes out on iTunes. Who actually owns iTunes? What company? Can you think, Kirby? What company owns iTunes?
I don't use iTunes anymore. You don't use iTunes. Subscribe to the podcast.
Okay. So, but where do most of our 10,000 a month
Kirby would drive 100 miles out of his way to avoid having anything to do
with... What he's trying to do is avoid answering the question.
Apple.
I do have an iPod Touch. I use it to play Words with Friends. That's it.
Do you now? So, are you going to answer the question?
Because I paid for Words with Friends on the iPod before I got rid of iTunes.
So are you going to answer the question then?
What question?
The question
42.
The question was, how many of our 10,000 feed hits do you reckon are via iTunes?
Most of them.
Well, there you go then. So if it weren't for Apple and iTunes, the company that you like to diss as much as possible, we wouldn't have so many listeners.
Yeah, why would you in get fact, rid of iTunes? It's really very convenient.
If it weren't for iTunes, I wouldn't bother publishing the show, because when I tried originally to do a podcast before we did the 20 megabyte, I couldn't get it on iTunes, so I gave up. But once it was on iTunes, that's when it took off.
I got rid of iTunes when they started making it non-functional by putting out updates that were complete and utter garbage. They removed features that I used to use constantly. It would start downloading every single episode of podcasts that had been out for 5 years. So I'd have 300 episodes suddenly.
Yeah, well, it's good then, isn't it? But nevertheless.
Sounds like just you personally.
I'm not saying I haven't had problems with it over the years. I mean, because they've changed it, it means I can't do the podcast charts because they changed the
setup.
Exactly.
That's but another change.
But without it, we wouldn't have a show. Anyway, moving on. Right, so. So the Doctor and Clara are communicating over the realms of time.
And the ghost just opens the Faraday cage.
Yes.
Why? The Doctor asks for a little bit of a private conversation with Clara, and yet O'Donnell and what's his name are still in the room and can hear his half the conversation.
Right. About that, too. They can hear everything that they're talking about.
I think it was just to not frighten Lun.
Oh, right, okay.
Okay.
I think that's what he was sort of implying, was that, right, let's try not to get Clara panicking. Mm. And these two can't do anything anyway. They're with me.
Yeah, but he switched to the landline.
I know, but I just don't think that they could really do anything while he's on the phone like that, whereas they could jump in front of the screen and start saying things.
Uh-huh.
You see what I mean?
Yes. Affirmative.
You can have a very sort of a half-private conversation.
Anyway, 14 minutes, well, actually it's more like 12 minutes into the episode, Prentice gets his comeuppance, unfortunately, because he looks at the words on the wall. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, the monster, and they say that Stephen Moffat doesn't do monsters anymore. Well, he's done another one, and he seems to get a monster every week. Kills him.
Did like the face on it.
You did like the face. It was a bit fake.
Yeah, the Fisher King.
Wasn't very good. It was a bit sort of classic Doctor Who, wasn't it?
Ooh. And it's nice to have Peter Serafinowicz's voice.
Who?
Peter Serafinowicz. He did Darth Maul.
Say that again.
Peter Serafinowicz.
And again.
Serafinowicz?
Faster. Anyway, yes. He did
Fisher King was played by three different people.
Yes, yeah.
Do you know what Isabella's class is at school, by the way?
Fisher King?
Correct.
King Fisher?
That's the one.
Yay!
There you go. Moving on. Isabella watched episode one. I forgot to mention this, or did I? I can't remember now. And
no, you said she hadn't watched it yet.
No, she watched it.
When we spoke last week.
She watched it the next evening or the evening we recorded the show and kept on getting up and crying because she was too scared to go to sleep.
Hmm. Really?
Yep.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I think episode one is pretty scary.
The ghosts are freaky, and it was
proper.
I don't know if I should say it now or say it later, but I liked episode one better than episode two.
I like
to say it later, again.
Same here.
It's atmospheric.
Yes.
Same here.
As soon as we got the monster, it's
Kirby?
A bit of a... Oh, okay.
Kirby.
Yeah.
Is your name Kirby? That's for Kirby. Mary?
Oh. I heard the at the end.
I heard Debbie as well.
No, I said Kirby. Huh? I said Kirby, and then he got one of these, and then Mary got one of these, because you're not supposed to talk about that until after we've looked at the episode. So, naughty people, naughty podcasters. Back to the episode. Right, so yeah, the Doctor wants to know what his ghost is saying, and of course, this is where we find out he's just sort of going on about a list of names, which is interesting in itself. Mm-hmm. I'm just fast forwarding at this point because
why am I not trying to kill you? I like that. Why am I not trying to kill you?
Yeah.
And he makes Clara describe him. You know, what's is there anything noticeable? And then it's the ripped sleeve. You know, and the torn shoulder pad.
Well, these people have travelled in the TARDIS. Are they companions now?
No.
That's
definition.
I was hoping that O'Donnell would become one. Then she manages to get herself killed by separating
from
everyone else.
I think Moffat's been watching too much Game of Thrones. He's killing them off.
Yeah, but that happened in the last Toby Whithouse story.
I know.
There was a companion that everybody thought, oh, they're going to be a great companion. He killed him off.
Killed her, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But the Doctor sort of didn't make a point of saying how much he liked this particular companion. But I'll tell you who she was like. She was like Osgood, wasn't she?
Yes.
Well, there was some speculation, weirdly, that O'Donnell was Osgood's daughter. And
what?
I was like, how?
Just 1980? Oh, of course, he's in the future, aren't they?
Where did that come from?
Just an O in the name? You know, what is it?
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah.
Well, it's could very be. Odd to see that posted. I was like, what?
Women change their name when they get married, don't they?
What are you on?
Women. Yeah. They change
exactly
their name.
How does the Fisher King kill? I mean, Donald stays alive for a while.
With a gun.
Yeah.
Do you not see the gun?
It looks like the blast, but you don't see the gun, do you?
Yes.
I never saw the gun.
He has it. He has a weapon in his hand.
Yes.
Tell him, Deb. I never noticed it.
Debbie.
Hmm? Hey.
Yeah, it's not a very nice death. That's quite sad.
There's so much going on with his costume. I suppose a gun in his hand would, you know, you could miss.
I thought he was just had a longer arm.
You know who Bennett reminded me of after O'Donnell died? And do you know who Bennett reminded me of? Rory. Oh, we said it together. It's the attitude towards the Doctor.
Yes, it really did. Yeah, it was Rory. Like, ooh, that's it. That's the challenging Rory used to be like. You know, it's like, well, come on. You're just going to use us as fodder. You know, that sort of thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
you knew that he loved O'Donnell, and it was just, like, oh, wasted opportunity.
Yeah. Tell you what was also probably the scariest part of this particular episode is when Clara's looking out of the window of the Faraday cage and the ghost of O'Donnell suddenly appears in the window.
I knew that was going to happen, but
it's that.
So
classic,
it made me jump twice
in the window. Yeah,
yeah.
Although,
they're looking out the window. I was like, here she comes. Mm-hmm.
Except she's been dead since 1980. Why does she just show up?
Because, Kirby, for goodness sake.
Tiny-wimey, wibbly-wobbly.
Because it wasn't supposed to happen. The Doctor went back in time and changed it. Do you not pay attention when watching these episodes?
But it happened.
Well, it hadn't happened till the Doctor went back in time. If you think about it.
It's still the whole thing is all one big ontological paradox.
The Doctor went back in time and changed the past. This is
all
point of the story.
It's all one big ontological paradox. The whole thing occurs in and of itself because of itself.
God, I do need. I think I might have to crack open a Stella. And I was just going to drink Coke tonight, but Kirby's driven me back to drink again.
Isn't it kind of late to have some caffeine?
Caffeine? I drank it at 7 o'clock. Anyway, moving on. So the Doctor tries to go back to the spaceship, but the TARDIS won't let him, and takes him half an hour back in time.
I like that the TARDIS is becoming much more of a character.
Yes, and it's a bit like Father's Day in a way, when he sort of looks out and sees himself and the other TARDIS.
Although, where are the Reapers? Why are the Reapers never coming back?
He didn't change. Oh, for God, you not watch Doctor Who? He didn't change anything like stop people from dying like they did in Father's Day. Debbie, please have a word with him. I might have to go up the shop and get a bottle of... No, I didn't. In Father's Day, Rose
intervened. This is going to be
intervened.
A 5-minute argument or the full half hour.
Rose intervened and the Reapers came. And this one... Bennett didn't intervene. No Reapers. Do you understand that one, Debbie?
Yes.
Thank you. Does Kirby understand it?
No.
Master.
Yes.
Affirmative master.
Well, if anything, he advanced the death of someone.
That's the thing.
O'Donnell, yeah.
He advanced it.
Well, by making it happen in the past.
Yeah, but it were... But she didn't belong there, did she? I don't know, honestly. But as far as the Reapers go... the death of Rose's dad happened, didn't it? It was, as the Doctor at that time said, it was a fixed point in time.
Yeah.
There's no mentions of fixed points in time here.
It's just the TARDIS being cranky.
I just wondered if these numbers on the wall, if any Doctor Who fans are going, 512, I wonder if that number means anything.
Yes! Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah, they haven't heard anything yet, but you never know.
Well, it'll keep them out.
What an idea! I researched that.
These cardboard cutouts, are they any particular characters in the future or the past of Doctor Who?
Do they reference anything?
Yeah.
It's just a set.
That blue box that appeared in Doctor Who. Oh, that's the TARDIS.
Where have I seen that before?
Yeah. What's that weird whiny noise?
What's that car? Wasn't that car in Harry Potter?
wasn't that in Downton?
Hang on. David Tennant was in Harry Potter. Oh, wasn't Peter Capaldi in it? Oh, no, he hasn't. Anyway, so...
Yeah, you can't cheat time. You cut time off at the root, is what the doctor says, isn't it? You can't cheat it.
There's a beautifully sad moment when they duck behind the oil drums, and you can see it through Bennett's eyes, the way they filmed it, looking at O'Donnell.
And she's looking really eager and keen, and I'm enjoying this.
And that's beautifully shot and directed, the fact that you know that that's through Bennett's eyes, because he jumps up and the doctor rugby tackles him, rather appropriately. Rugby tackles him to the ground.
And then this skips back to Clara sending poor old Lun.
Yeah. Oh, yes, but that was a good scene. The way she worked out that Lun wasn't a threat to the ghosts.
Another one of those moments where Clara is the doctor again, you know?
She has to be. The doctor isn't there.
I know, but it was like, aha!
All right, Debbie. All right. Yeah. What do you think should have happened?
She's figuring everything out, you know.
What do you think should have happened then?
Well, no. I don't mind it happening because it was really appropriate and it wasn't the Clara show like we thought it was going to be. But it was still another one of those convenient, moments. And then they still end up going out after him.
Well, now, in her defense, and I can't believe I'm defending Clara, Amy had moments like that too with the 11th Doctor when she, you know, when they were in trouble somewhere and she would go, well, what would the Doctor do? Well, you know, he would say, do this and this, and then she would do it and that would help things.
Mary.
And the Doctor did say about Lun not seeing it, so it was pushed into her mind anyway. So, yeah I suppose so, but I just was a bit worried that it was suddenly going to be Clara's day.
They're locked in that room. She's got plenty. She's not
went out after him anyway.
She's not stupid, is she? I know she is when Missy's around, but she's not generally stupid.
No, but then she was stupid. Because they went now after him.
Well, she had to, because that backfired. The little plan backfired, didn't it?
I know, but they still went out.
Now, but that's because of Cass. Cass, she wouldn't have done if Cass hadn't said, right, I'm going. Cass insisted, she had to go.
Yeah.
Pardon me. Anyway, where did I get up?
I would have rugby tackled Cass to the ground.
Would you?
Yes.
It does make you wonder, how did Faraday that case. Base is so big. How did Lun know where the phone was?
Yeah,
because O'Donnell could have taken it anywhere.
But he
likes to make the beeline right for the
base.
I know
it's lured him there. That's what he said.
I thought they'd flooded parts of it.
Yeah,
I thought they'd flooded parts of it.
They did, but he said that they'd lured him to that lounge. He said they lured me here. It's a trap. As they came through the door,
okay,
and the ghosts all popped out the walls again.
Okay.
So Admiral Ackbar was there going, it's a trap.
Yeah, it's a trap.
Of course, I forgot to mention about Clara telling the doctor that the ghost doctor had a rip in his sleeve. And, of course, you're waiting for the moment where the sleeve ripped.
It just kind of seems to come out of nowhere. All of a sudden, there's a rip in his sleeve. You don't see how it got there.
Tackle Bennett.
Yeah, it happened when he tackled Bennett.
Yeah, that's it. Thank you, Kirby. Once he got something right at last.
All right.
Yeah, he
tackled
Bennett, and they were getting up, and he went,
"Uh-oh."
Yeah, there it is.
Yes, and then there's a great shot or scene as he sort of walks into the lair of the Fisher King.
It's a really funky church basement, actually.
Yeah, but it's the wide shot. I love that wide shot you see that. What
did anyone else go? Oh, the thing is open, therefore the doctor is going to get into it at some point.
Well, I told you last week it was the doctor.
The cryogenic chamber.
I told you last week it was the doctor.
It was going to be the doctor. Yes.
So,
no, basically. The surprise would have been if it wasn't the doctor.
Yes.
Now, if back on the base in underwater, when the doctor's ghost is joining the other ghosts around Lun, why don't the other ghosts notice that that's not a ghost?
Why aren't they reacting to him?
You're right.
To make us believe that he is a ghost.
Yeah, but you're right. Yeah. Why didn't they?
I missed that bit.
They didn't recognize Clara was a hologram. When they lured them to the Faraday cage, they didn't recognize that Clara was a hologram. So maybe the doctor was just betting on the fact that...
that they wouldn't recognize him either.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, there you go. Right. So,
ding,
ding.
No. Yeah, they were going for, you know, the call of the Fisher King. I don't think they cared one way or the other, whether he was a ghost or a hologram.
Yeah, but you know, he said that the the cryogenic chamber thing was open, but the lid shut before the doctor got into it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. And also interesting lights on the front of it, the sort of... Now I know what that's all about. No, hang on. That's two cryogenic chambers. The doctor's standing next to the open one. Then it cuts to the cryogenic plane, the one that's on the ship.
Been defrosting since they come out the church.
Yeah, right. And that's when the lights are starting to go out.
At the end, the fact that it's been opening.
Yeah.
And the Wi-Fi and all that.
Yeah.
Yeah, the doctor just did a Jack Harkness. Remember when Captain Jack was buried for however many centuries?
More than 200 centuries.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Don't kiss me, morning breath.
Yeah, morning breath.
But that's a great scene when Lund sort of is surrounded by all the ghosts and they were like sniffing him. And
oh, whatever. That was horrid, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's the scene I was referring to where the doctor's ghost is there and... Yeah. They seem to accept him as a ghost.
He's just like all the rest of them. Yeah.
Well, obviously the doctor designed it to be that way. Hasn't he, Debbie?
Yes.
He is the doctor. So, yes, the doctor sort of has a conversation with the Fisher King. Well, I think, he, despite the slightly bad sort of face makeup, he's actually quite an interesting and awesome monster.
Yeah.
It's only a mask.
I like the fact that it was blatant man in monster outfit. I love
very,
that.
Very tall really, man in monster.
Yes, I know, but it still harked wonderfully back to, you know, classic Who and things like that. You know,
is David Prowse still alive? Is David Prowse still alive? He'd have been good sort of stick him in the size.
He's still around, but this guy's taller than him.
How is he?
7'7", this guy was. What's his name? Neil Fingleton.
Turning of pages.
Yep.
Excuse me.
Oh,
God's sake. You never hear me doing things like that.
He's on the Diet Coke.
Yes, exactly.
Anyway, right. So there's another excellent scene when Cass is going through the corridors and that the what was the first ghost? Second ghost. The bald-headed one.
Morin.
Yeah, Moran, you mean.
Moran was the first one.
I thought she would have picked up on that vibration sooner, but I did love
She picked up on something, but the fact that, you know, you could hear...
Very Daredevil. I mean, she can see that much detail.
Yeah, it was Daredevil.
Oh, stop it, Kirby, for goodness sake. What? It's brilliant. I love it.
Yes, Daredevil's good like that, too.
No, it's not. I've never seen it.
The TV series, not the film. The film's
crap. The Time Lord.
Okay,
lied.
I see that. I now see the gun, but I simply thought that that the Fisher King had a weird left arm.
Yeah, me too.
That was part of his left arm.
No, it's a gun. Yeah, it quite clearly is a gun. Debbie, can you tell him he's on a funny mission tonight? So that is unmistakably a gun. You may not be able to hold it properly, but it's a gun. Anyway.
I wrote, ooh, big gun.
You're not looking for a gun. I would think the Fisher King would pull another way, so I did not anticipate
it. See, I was the previews made me think that the Fisher King had special powers, and special powers of flooding things.
Yeah.
Yeah, like he could suck your soul out or something.
Yeah, soul sucker or something. Yeah.
The previews made me think that he caused the dam to break and he was summoning the water from the dam. Because the previews cut off before we saw him.
Yes, but that's
kill.
What previews are supposed to do. They're not supposed to give away the story like you hope they would.
And I thought all that water, you know, he would welcome being the Fisher King.
Well, it looked like he did, and then he went, whee!
Yeah, I think the power of the water, Mary, was probably a little bit too much for him.
That was rather funny, though. I was laughing.
Yeah.
And then he said one of my possible, if I thought about it, quotes, the Time Lord lied.
Yes, that was one of mine.
That was one of my quotes, too.
Yeah.
And of course, they're great.
Right before Don't Kiss Me Morning Breath.
Scene of the dam being breached, and then that hologram of the Doctor inside the TARDIS, which is reminiscent of one of my favourite Doctor Who stories and episodes, Bad Wolf. I think it's Bad Wolf, or was it the one afterwards, Parting of the Ways? Either way, those two episodes are two of my favourite Doctor episodes of all time, Debbie. Of course, you get the hologram of the Doctor in different suit, which is quite interesting.
Yes. Yeah.
I noticed when the just before the cryogenic chamber opened and the ghost came into that room that the Doctor's ghost was missing. I went, oh, okay.
Yes. Yeah. And then you knew he was somewhere.
Yeah.
You sort of twig really quick, don't you? It's like, oh, yeah, boof, 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 there you go. And then you hear the Fisher King roar. And I was like, well, that's coming from inside the base. And, yeah. Did like that. That was a good roar.
So anyway, like I say, I think the Fisher King accepts his death.
Yeah, slightly.
He stuck his hands out as if he's going to regenerate. And then
thing that made me laugh.
What made me think he's coming back.
But the Doctor's ghost does reappear. Well, it had to, really, if it was a hologram.
Yes, summoning them to mummy, basically.
But in a way, that's a shame. Why, like you said about the four ghosts appearing, why the Doctor's ghost didn't appear with them? That was the thing that was wrong about that scene.
It would have been nice, but then he wouldn't have been in the Faraday cage screaming.
Why not?
Suppose not, actually. Yeah.
Okay.
He could have made multiple holograms. Show me the rules for making holograms.
That's true.
So then we get another really good scene.
My Red Dwarf manual for that one.
Then we get another really good scene in which...
I can only support one.
Be quiet. Another really good scene in which Bennett...
I forgot about that.
Shut up, in which Bennett sort of tells Lund to tell Cass that he loves her because
isn't that convenient?
Life is too short. What?
They love each other, and he loved he loved O'Donnell, and everybody loves each other.
But it was a lovely.
A lovely moment.
I liked about it was, or part
does
that.
Does that mean for the other two that got killed that they loved each other?
Be quiet. The fact that Clara was able to refer to the loss that she had. And that was quite appropriate.
Yeah, this underwater base is a hotbed for romance, it seems.
Yes, that's what I was thinking. It was like, what?
Does it matter?
Are they down there?
Yeah, exactly.
Does it matter? Anyway, right,
they paired off.
Pardon?
They paired off.
Yes, it's not a problem, is it? Anyway, so yeah, that's essentially the end of the episode. Then we see a little preview of the next story where we see Maisie, we will hopefully find out who she actually is. I've got a funny feeling she's not going to be any of the things that we thought she might have been.
She's
going to
be what I said that...
if she is...
She's going to be what I've been saying for weeks now, that she's not someone like from the Doctor's past.
Yeah.
Exactly.
She's an entirely new character because I read that weeks and weeks ago.
Yes. Well, I'm slightly disappointed by that. Anyway, so
And we're going to probably discover that those Therils aren't Therils either.
The speculation will hopefully trigger something. That would be nice, though, in future seasons.
Maybe so. But anyway. Yeah.
Series.
Here's what I think about this episode. I'll tell you what I think of the story. Right. I would agree in some ways that the episode isn't quite as good as the previous one. But only slightly. Because the previous one had to be quite good. Because it was a sort of lead on to this. You know, leading up to a big cliffhanger of the Ghost of the Doctor. So I think episodes one are supposed to be slightly better than episodes two. But only slightly, and I think that works quite well. I love the timey-wimey-ness. I've always liked timey-wimey Doctor Who, so you get two particular time periods within a story, travelling in the TARDIS, etc., etc. So that was there for me. I like the fact that you've got different characters with the Doctor. Clara's away, you know, locked away doing something or other, while the Doctor has a bit of an adventure. So that was quite interesting. The new monster, an old monster, and initially I wasn't too sure about the break in the fourth wall, but you explained it to me well, and I'm quite happy with it now. But I wasn't really happy about the Doctor talking to camera until you explained it. So thank you for explaining it to me. I like the Doctor being able to play guitar and having a thing about it.
What explanation did you like?
I didn't have an explanation when he was looking at me, looking straight into the camera.
You said, thank you for explaining it. I mean,
we provided two different explanations.
The one I like was that he was talking to Bennett or O'Donnell or both of them. I like that one.
So you don't like the explanation that he muses out loud?
No, not directly to camera.
Because he's done that as well.
Yeah, because he's done that.
What, directly to camera?
Yes.
Listen.
Yeah. I'm listening. So, yeah. So, on the whole, I really liked it. I still think it's that so far this series is much better than the previous series of Doctor Who.
Boy, is it.
And yeah, as far as the story as a whole, it had everything I like about Doctor Who in it. So, I think, looking at the previous to next week, I don't think I'm going to like the next story as much. But obviously I might change my mind when I come to see it. But this one was fantastic. Absolutely loved it. I love Toby Whithouse as a Doctor Who writer. I think he most of the time, I think of a time, in fact, that he hasn't hit the button on the, what do you call it? Bearing in mind he didn't write for the last series. So, yeah, really, 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 really good. Debbie.
Andy's on, by the way.
Tough.
I loved it. Not as good as last week, definitely, because, you know, obviously we had the reveals of the ghosts and things, and this time we got the reveal of the Fisher King, but we knew he was coming. There'd been quite a lot of images of him.
That's what she said.
Floating around online and everything. So you knew he was coming, but he was still a very effective presence throughout this whole episode, you know, when you travel back. It's nice to go back to somewhere that makes you think for the moment. It's like when Bennett said, are we in Russia or something? You know, and it's like, no, this is harks back to the Cold War, which I remember the tail end of all that. So it was quite good for me to go, actually, that's something in my timeline, but the beginning of my timeline. And I really like the way that they pulled everything together and the way things changed when O'Donnell died and her ghost appearing and just going zink with the phone, because she was there when the doctor said, put my phone outside the Faraday cage, and if it's safe, come out and talk to me. And the O'Donnell turns up and just pip, takes the phone away. I did like the use of the timey-wimey aspect of that. And I thought the Fisher King was great, the way he was familiar with the Time Lords and, you know, how he called them caretakers. And we've had that kind of reference in the past as well. And it's just nice that you've got this ongoing storyline going through the history of the Time Lord still crops up, which is great. We're not just he is still very much anchored to the Time Lords after all the trouble with the Master, you know, when Rassilon came back and things like that. So it's nice, it's good that you've got that reference. You've also got references for a classic Who as well. And obviously when they were in the village, I thought, Autons, oh my God, we're going to see some Autons. No, how dare you, you know, that sort of thing. And I was looking all round all the visual stimuli just to see what...
The village? I had you were number six.
Yes, I'm not a number. But yeah, I was looking to see if there was something there that was going to trigger it, but no, it was. And I was looking around, and then suddenly there's the spaceship, and I'm like, oh, okay, there you go. That's a big enough clue. And just, I really enjoyed it. The whole bringing everything together, the power. So we knew it was going to be the Doctor in there, and he explains the Wi-Fi with the sonic screwdriver. I nearly said sonic sunglasses, and just the whole bit at the end with the reverse engineering the narrative and the whole speculation on how he actually worked it, and he's trying to explain it to Clara but confusing her more. And I just felt that they made good use of all the different characters as well. I did really feel with Bennett that there was a Rory aspect to him, and I enjoyed the dynamic of Cass, her not being able to hear, and that bit when he's following her dragging the axe and she can feel the vibrations, but you get her perspective so you can't hear anything. It was silent, and I really liked that. There was no background music, there was nothing, just silence. And
I thought Cass was just a great character anyway. The fact that she didn't have one line.
Yeah, they were,
what an actress to be able to pull off a character like that, you know.
And
with
the bit when
no
she
words.
Was really angry with Clara, it was like she didn't really need to say anything anyway, but you know, her acting was...
I just wonder how Big Finish would have got around that problem.
They would have had Lund speaking for her.
Yes.
Yeah, but I just found the ghosts were still very frightening. And
creepy.
I found these first four episodes have surpassed anything from the last season.
Mm-hmm.
Even Mummy on the Orient Express, which was one of the best ones, and Listen was pretty good. But
Listen was great.
I know,
sorry,
but compared
Mary.
To these, You know, it's up there, but I think this has been an absolutely astonishing beginning to the season. And I'm really thrilled because I was wondering where we were going to go, and it's gone the right way for me, definitely. Well, not necessarily for others, but definitely for me, we're going in the right direction.
I just think the last series probably let down by, even though I liked Danny as a character, but Clara having a love interest.
We've had too much about relationships. How's the human's relationship going? How's the human's relationship? It was great the way they did it with Amy and Rory becoming River's parents, and the way they did the whole timey-wimey aspect to that was brilliant.
I just felt
that we were too centred on the human relationship, and the Doctor was just there sort of advising from the sidelines.
They brought Danny in as a character to give Clara an excuse to leave. And then, of course, then she changed her mind. So in the end, it wasn't really, there wasn't much point to him being in the series at all. And so I did like the character. I thought it was a great character. I liked some of the,
misused.
You know, the stories. Yeah.
Misused.
He was in Listen wasn't he?
I just feel that so far this season, I've enjoyed every single episode.
And I think what they should have done with Danny, to be fair, was actually turn him into a companion rather than, Clara goes back to work and sees his boyfriend, blah, blah, blah. I mean, we had Rory and Amy on the TARDIS having a relationship. They were married, et cetera, et cetera. That worked quite well. I wouldn't say they probably didn't because they were going to say, oh, that's copying Amy and Rory. Mm-hmm. But that would have worked better, I think, having Clara and
he always
Danny
works
on the
better
TARDIS.
With a few companions, I think. Yeah. You know, a few friends rather than just one.
Yeah.
So it was great to see interact.
Amy and Rory was implied, you know, that we weren't out there dealing with their relationship all the time.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You know, they referred to things that had happened and things like that, you know.
Right.
I just found that last season it was just how's things with Danny? How's things with Danny? You know, it's like it's maybe But it was great to see the Doctor in this episode going off with Bennett and O'Donnell and having someone else's perspective thrust into his life again. You know, that was quite a nice way Bennett attacked him for what happened. And you could see him sort of going, oh, nobody speaks to me like that. And it's like, no, actually, you haven't been spoken to like that for a while. You need it.
Okay. Thank you, Debbie. Okay. Hello, Andy. What did you think?
First proper alien and he's an idiot. I don't know if anyone, of course, I've no idea if anyone's here. Nice can of beer open there. I've got a can of, I've got the last can of Boddington's I was bought for my 50th by some friends, and I'm finally drinking the last can after having been on the wagon for a month. But yeah, thoroughly enjoyed it.
Andy?
Watched it last night after the rugby. We won't go there.
Andy?
Andy? Nick Easter got a hat trick on probably his last England appearance.
Andy?
Hello. Yes.
Have you and Kirby done some sort of deal where you have his internet and he has yours?
Well, the problem is, right, I don't know what's happening at the moment, but I tried to log on to the desktop and Skypey has been signing in for 10 minutes.
Mm.
So I've given up. I've dragged the laptop upstairs.
So you're breathing into the microphone again.
Right. I dragged the laptop upstairs and I'm now going to the laptop, which means it's a wireless connection rather than a wired connection. So
he's
that might be
now.
It.
He's better now.
Andy,
right, I've moved it up. I've moved the microphone up.
Andy,
sorry, Adam. Yes, Miss Master.
What type?
Oh, wait, Adam. Did you find your towel?
I had my towel. Otherwise, I wouldn't have dried myself off. Never mind the towel.
Well, I didn't find your towel. For. I mean, you were getting out of bath last. I heard. I mean, just,
I was in the middle of a bath when I got nagged and harassed about starting a podcast, and I did start the podcast on time. Anyway, Andy.
Adam.
What type of phone do you have?
Well, I have several phones. I mean, the phone that's sitting in front of my work phone is a crackery. It's flashing Wes's emails and work that I'm ignoring. I have a landline that's wide. And I have two mobile phones, not white phones, whatever you want to call them. And I have an iPhone 4.
Right, the iPhone 4.
Go on, then.
Okay. What network is it connected to?
Virgin.
Pardon?
Virgin.
Oh, Virgin, right. Do Virgin do 4G or 3G?
Depends where you are.
No, all right, I'll rephrase the question. Can you get 3G or 4G from your house via your iPhone 4?
For us, if you want to get any sort of mobile signal, the best place to go is go into some of the toilets upstairs because we are right next to it. In fact, part of our garden, or what would be our garden, is a substation, which I think interferes. So the best place to get a mobile signal is sitting on the loo. We found this out.
Right.
Well, no, I've not quite got as far as the roof yet. I've gone into, go into the attic, if you like, Debbie.
No.
And you know, see what it's there. And get on the roof means getting a ladder and climbing up and things.
I don't think Stuart McGeddon would thank me if I put your life at risk.
Well, actually, we saw, you know, if I fell off my roof and cracked my neck, then I'd probably, you know, Dawn and therefore Stuart McGeddon would be very well off because I'd be like, 4 times salary, which is quite a lot of money, actually.
Right, back to the land of the living. Right, the idea...
back to the world of dreams.
...was if you get the app on your iPhone for Skype...
Yep.
..and I wonder if you might be able to communicate to us better through the Skype on your phone than on the computer, because I've done that in the past. As long as you've got at least a 3G connection, it might work better... I'm only thinking.
What your allowance is.
Yeah. No, the iPhone at home connects to Wi-Fi.
Pardon?
The iPhone at home connects to Wi-Fi.
Yeah, well, that won't work then.
You don't have to do that.
That won't work then, will it? Because the Wi-Fi is obviously the problem.
You can turn off the Wi-Fi connection.
On Wednesday, we are getting a new super hub from Virgin, which will apparently boost our broadband speed. So perhaps that might be the problem.
Right.
Apparently, it wasn't a storm again last week that screwed the internet up. It was, in fact, the whole of Virgin in the area of Guildford we live in that went down completely. And it went down twice more.
Sounds like it's pretty down now.
No, it can't be. So this is talking a lot.
It died completely.
Yeah, it's not sounding. Anyway,
I'll translate.
Back to Doctor Who. Did you say.
What's Doctor Who? No. What's that? Never heard of it.
Did you say you liked it?
I thoroughly enjoyed it. I watched it last night, say, after the rugby and obviously post several beers, because I cooked one of my very nice curries. Actually, a very nice curry that was. Very good. It was a murgy, slage and balti, and it really went down very well. We had a lot of beer with this as well. Yes, let's not go any further with that. But, I couldn't actually remember the end of the episode. I watched it again today with Stormageddon as he lay on my lap, yelling his head off till I just took a bottle in his mouth, and he shut up.
You're a seasoned pro, Andy.
I'm getting there. I'll tell you what, it's amazing. He goes, wow, 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 glunk.
There you go.
And it's like instant silence. And he's got one heck of an appetite. I mean, the way he guzzles it down, it's like,
if it's silence, how do you remember?
Oh, very nice, Kirby. That's sharp.
He's on Kirby.
You can have a clank for that, Kirby.
No, we can't.
That was sharp. I've completely lost my... No, silence, I've now completely lost my train of thought. What are we talking about?
What did you think of The Fisher King?
Well, what's the film with The Fisher King? Is that Terry Gilliam?
Terry Gilliam film.
It was Terry Gilliam, yes.
Yes.
There's no point me pointing at the screen, because, I mean, there's no... You can't see me. yes, it was. It was Terry Gilliam. Yes, Well, I thought that's definitely an alien meme, isn't it? Because you looked at that, and that was alien.
Ooh, that what was thing. That?
But I thought... sorry, I've obviously missed something. Sorry?
There's a funny noise, Andy. And I don't just mean your internet connection.
I have not just broken winds, no.
Right. Are we moving on to the next instalment?
I did thoroughly enjoy it. I must admit, I did have to watch it twice to understand it. It was quite complicated.
Did you like it as much as the first part?
I watched it more than the first part, actually. I think it did explain a lot.
Interesting.
The first part left a lot of things hanging.
That's what she said.
The second part answered them. One thing, he said to Bennett, I'll erase the memory of the message later.
Yes.
We never saw him do it.
Yeah, but the doctor says I'll explain later loads of times, but we don't always hear him doing an explanation. That's a typical doctor.
It's like when he got Clara out of the Dalek. How did he do that?
Because he didn't. Yeah. He's still in there.
No, I wonder.
These are going to be left hanging forever.
That's what she said.
Thank you, Kirby. Well, not forever, though. Right. That could be left hanging.
Right. Can I just tell you about Clara before we move on? Clara is, in fact, one of those people inhabited by a Dalek. So at some point during the series, one of those Dalek eyes will come out of her forehead.
That's a good idea.
Could well happen. Why not?
No, she is still in the Dalek.
That's where she's headed. She's going to be in a Dalek.
So that Dalek opened
I
up and just...
I predict it.
That is in fact...
You said it last week. You said it the first week.
Once Missy put her in that Dalek, she's still in there.
Right, so I just imagine that
she can be in a Dalek.
The Doctor at some point has got to try and sort of change her mind so she believes she's trapped somewhere, so she doesn't suffer the fact of knowing that she's actually a Dalek. Anyway, moving on. Right, are you done, Andy?
Well, actually, moving on, I've just finished my beer. I'm now drinking some of my wife's 50th birthday present, which is a bottle of Jim Beam.
So by the time...
I'm not going to drink all of it,
so obviously. We've got to try and get to the quiz before you fall asleep. Is that what you're saying?
Well, no. I mean, don't forget, I had a month in the wagon, so this is me slightly making for lost time.
Just as well, we're not linking up to any...
I did not open this until a week ago, so now a quarter left.
Yeah, so just as well, we're not linking up with any conventions in America today, isn't it?
I don't know. No idea what you're talking about. I have no memory of that whatsoever.
Yeah. Anyway, Kirby, what did you think?
First of all, I pretty much agree with all three of you so far, so there's not a lot I can add to it. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the story very much. The second episode of the second story was not as good as the first episode. I loved all of the references to us old school fans, and also to fans in general, with the fact that O'Donnell was reciting Amy and Rose and Martha. Did you notice she left out Donna?
She didn't say Amy. She just said Rose and Martha.
No, she said three. No, she
said
three.
Amy.
She did say Amy.
Yes,
but yeah, she didn't say Donna.
She did Rose.
She didn't say Donna.
No, she didn't. You're quite right.
She didn't say Donna. That's correct. But she did say Amy.
Didn't say Adam either.
Definitely.
The Doctor erased Donna's mind all that time. He probably erased it from the record, so it would never come back for her to be reminded or anything. So that would make sense.
Yeah. And another thing, which is more related to the new series and to Torchwood and to Sarah Jane, is that the Tivolians were. Prentice mentions that the Tivolians were ruled by the Fisher King for 10 years until they were liberated by the Argentinians. The Argentinians were those butterfly-like creatures we first saw in Invasion of the Bane and Sarah Jane Adventures and in Greeks, Torchwood's Greeks Bearing Gifts.
Ah, well
I remember
done, Kirby.
I didn't really watch the Sarah Jane Adventures.
Is there one episode of Torchwood?
We love Sarah Jane Adventures. In fact,
sisters look pretty good.
My youngest daughter, Mary, and I had just watched that particular episode, Invasion of the Bane, just a few days ago.
There's only one episode of Torchwood that I don't particularly like watching. That's the one with the cannibals in it. I think it's horrible.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've only watched that one once. Let me think. And I put a picture of the Argentinian with Sarah Jane.
On the Facebook
page. Let's see. And just, I liked it. I liked it a little less than I liked the first story. I liked both of these stories pretty much better than almost anything except listen. Mm-hmm. I mean, this so far, this series is so much better than last series.
It's a relief.
Yes.
I'm not sure it's better. I mean, it's certainly different. It's a lot harder. I think that's why we've gone for the later time slot, certainly in the UK. I don't know what time they're showing it for you guys in America. But over here...
9 o'clock.
Nine o'clock.
Yeah, but what... How?
Well, 8 o'clock. Yeah, 9 o'clock. Okay.
Yeah, what time was it shown last year?
I don't know.
9 o'clock. It's always 9 o'clock.
No, so
you're in regular time for us.
No, so you guys in America, it's been shown the same time slot. I do wonder, have they shifted the time slot over here? Because it is definitely a harder series.
Yes.
There's a lot more, I wouldn't call it adult themes, but there are themes where a young child would certainly be scared of.
Adam, what were you saying earlier about Isabella?
She was very upset. She couldn't go to sleep.
What's it about? It's about 8, 9 years old, Isabella, I think.
She's 9.
Yeah. She's 9, right, okay. So for a younger child, so to be shown at, say, 7 o'clock, would fly now. So what, the 8:30 is it shown last night? And I watched.
No, 8:25.
We'd rather underline it's not a children's programme, is it?
Well, it's
a family
show. I think it's... Sorry, Kirby, can I get in first, please?
Sure.
Yeah.
Well done. You've achieved something there, Andy. Bloody hell.
I know, it's amazing. It's blimey. Yeah, we've got a highlight. Right, this is now a family show. It's like Casualty. I don't know if you guys can make it Casualty or Holby City. This is more of a family show where you'll watch it as family. Therefore, you have the young children watch it. You have the teenage children, the older children, the parents... We can all get different things out of it, but it means it is something like, obviously, what scared Isabella there, are you saying, Adam? You will be
the ghosts,
and say,
basically.
You'll be listening to it and say, right, this is scary, but this is what's happening. This is why it's happening. Therefore, don't worry. Obviously, the fact that if you say Isabella couldn't sleep, obviously quite disturbing. I can see why, because that was not... It's Dawn herself. She watched this story last night and didn't enjoy it. And she thought there were some bits that would disturb a child. But it's no longer... Well, it's never been a child series. I don't think it has ever been.
No.
It's always been the family show.
It was when it first started.
No, it's always meant to be family.
But it was more aimed at children.
It just moves around from the 5:25, 6 o'clock. So I think this is probably one of the latest. I think it's not quite the latest ever been shown.
No.
Yes, but it was because of Strictly Come Dancing, Andy.
Well, also Strictly, and also because the rugby on Alternative Channel, and a lot of people, like I did last night, I watched the rugby, then watched it, it's time shifted. I think now we've got that time shift element. People watch the programme when they want to watch it. Therefore, I think when a programme is broadcast, it's not necessarily where it's aimed at.
Because we know that, because it got, the previous story got 6 million viewers.
At 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
I still find it strange that your shows start at such odd times and it shifts around. It's not in a regular time
That's
slot.
That's because
everybody.
Of Strictly Come Dancing.
It was at 7:40.
It was 6:45 from the start of Christopher Eccleston through to most of Tennant. Yeah. And then it was during Tennant that it started shifting.
Yeah, but it's doing it now because the show's never been on at the same time as Strictly Come Dancing.
The first week. 7:45 the second week, 8:25 the third week, and 8:25 again the fourth week.
Yes,
we're interested to see because
it's moving back 5 minutes to 8:20 the next week.
You're
reading too much into this. It's Strictly Come Dancing, which gets shorter and shorter every week. Doctor Who is after Strictly, therefore, you know that the times will get earlier, but. In previous times, it's not been on at the same time as Strictly Come Dancing.
But is it as well, Adam? Because you've got the Rugby World Cup over here.
That's why we don't get the viewers.
That's about ITV, not BBC. But are they trying to schedule Doctor Who to, in a way, not clash? Or the fact that people like I did yesterday, where I time shifted Doctor Who to watch the rugby. And then what's the purpose? Now, England
no. Because the BBC know that most geeks aren't interested in sports, and most Doctor Who fans aren't interested in sport. The BBC know that.
That's your saddos who don't appreciate the fine things in life.
Exactly. Right then.
Another weird thing is that.
Oh, shut Adam up! Brilliant! Sorry, Kirby. Sorry, Kirby. I beg your pardon. Carry on, Kirby.
I don't know what you're going on about. Southampton beat Chelsea 3-1 comfortably. No excuses apart from the only person that had an excuse was blooming Jose Mourinho. He was the only person who had a vain excuse. What?
When did Southampton last win a trophy?
About 4 years ago, Wembley Stadium, the Johnson's Plate Trophy against Carlisle United, and then me and Alicia went to it. We won 4-1. Ricky Lambert scored the one goal. Adam Lallana was playing. Hang on. Ricky Lambert was playing. Adam Lallana was playing. Let's think who else was playing in that game. Plays for Man United now.
What do you think?
Morgan Schneidlin. Oh, it's funny, all these players are international players in that particular game.
Someone getting back to just TV in general.
Sorry, Kirby. Well,
I here in the U.S., is for my entire life, television shows have started on the hour or the half hour. Mm. What's with your shows starting at 25
because,
after.
Oh, for God's sake. Right. Can everybody be quiet just for a second? I'll mute you otherwise.
Your shows have no commercials, so they run for 45 minutes and then the next show starts.
Right, we've got 10 seconds to shut up before I mute the whole lot of you. 10. Oh, you shut up now, right. Strictly Come Dancing. Right, I said this at the beginning. It doesn't need 20 minutes of podcasting to wonder why these programs are going at long times. Strictly Come Dancing. That's the answer.
We also have a version of Strictly Come Dancing here, which gets shorter every week. I used to watch it with my mother when I was living for a couple of years up in Tennessee. And they would find ways of filling things out by having special dances
They used to do that here after Grandstand finished.
They follow a dancer around or the guest and the biography.
They used to do that.
That.
Yeah, it's boring though, isn't it? They used to do that after Grandstand. They used to put Tom and Jerry on before Doctor Who.
Yes, they did.
Yes, right. Moving on. Mary, what did you think?
Boring cartoons ever.
No, it isn't. Mary, what did you think? Hang on. Mary, what did you think? Jingle time.
Well, this time I think it's justified you playing that because, I mean, I really can't add much to what Debbie, Kirby, and you've said because even what I'm going to say...
What about Andy?
Shut up.
I didn't understand Andy. He was so broken up.
Yeah, thank you, Mary.
I know.
Because I still think this season is so much better than last season, save Murder on the Orient Express. But anyway. But I did not like this second half of the story as much as I like the first, which you all said. The two things that I want to say, rather than say the same thing you all did, it startled me to hear an ordinary character know the Doctor's background. When O'Donnell is talking about, you know, Amy Rose and who else?
Martha,
thank you. It just startled me because usually that is the area for the overarching characters like the Master or someone who really knows the Doctor to know about. But it surprised me to hear just an ordinary character know the Doctor. Usually he takes everybody by surprise with what he does. But the one thing that just really, I won't say ruined it, but really put the whole thing in a negative light for me is once again, we're talking about the Doctor's going to die. And I'm wishing they could come up with another kind of major tragedy other than this. I mean, we went through two seasons of the 11th Doctor dying. And just the last two stories, the Doctor died. So why? I mean, not two stories, but the last story of two parts, the Doctor dies. So why are we dealing with the Doctor dying again? I think they need to come up with something else for us all to be, you know, scared of than that. I think it's not very original.
Ooh, what happened there?
What was that?
Someone hung up.
Oh, damn.
It's probably Andy.
Who's it? It's... Yeah, he's gone.
Yeah, he's gone.
Bye, Andy.
But his connection was so bad.
It was. That's what she said.
So that's my thing. You know, I really, as soon as it said, oh, I have to die, I thought, oh, my God, here we go again.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Doctor has to die. Mm-hmm.
Have to die again.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, again.
All right.
Oh, he's back again.
Ray! Oh, he's back. Front and sides, too.
Oh, he's gone again. Okay, let's do some feedback. Let's hope we can hear it. If we can't hear this week at Patrick, I'll have to dub it on at the end again. But here goes.
Hello to everyone at the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast. This is Patrick from North Hollywood with my feedback for Before the Flood. You know, this season so far has been really great. I really liked this episode. I like how they really expanded on a lot of the character threads that they set up in part one. At the very end, the whole timey-wimey paradox thing, I'm going to have to watch it again. I watched it late last night, and I'm probably going to have to watch it again just to see exactly how he pulled it off and what the paradox was that got him in the sarcophagus. But I thought it was brilliant. I thought it was a great episode. Some of the paradox stuff, like the prelude at the beginning when he's talking about Beethoven and how they wrapped it up at the end. I'm still a little bit confused how they tie it all together. But again, this is just off of one watching, and I'm sure it's going to take multiple for me to exactly figure out the threads and how they neatly sewed it up. Yeah, I just liked all the character beats. I like how everything resolved. I felt bad for the character who died, but so. Great episode. Love these two-parters, as I've said before. Old school Doctor Who style. And I also have to say that for the first time in a while, I really liked Clara in this episode. It's not that I dislike her in general. It's just that her character has always been kind of benign to me. But in this episode, I really liked her interaction with the Doctor. And I thought they really played off well against each other. And you can really tell that they care about each other. And again, it's not that I think that she's been horrible. It's just I think this episode, she was particularly good. The character was particularly good. Anyway, that's pretty much it. And I apologize for the audio problems in the first two feedback sessions. I'm not sure what was going on. I think the settings in my audition were a little bit off. So sorry that the volumes were so low. And yes, I am recording on a Mac. So there, the end of that mystery. Anyway, you guys have a great week.
Thank you, Patrick. We could hear him that time, couldn't we, everybody?
You should never admit that you're on a Mac if you're having a problem.
Yeah. Laugh of glee from Lemon Kirby, whatever his name is. It's not on. Anyway, moving on.
Hang on, Ian.
Ian, let me play the jingle first.
Hello, 20 Megabyte Podcast. This is Ian Kirk. Podshock seems to be an ex-podcast.
It does?
Falling off its perch. It was the first Doctor Who podcast I listened to.
So it has finished?
I gave it up because they were having audio problems. Seems ironic, considering last week's 20 megabyte.
Hang on, it's not me that's having the audio problems.
In the first episode this year, the Doctor played Pretty Woman on guitar. Was that a rock sample? Before the Flood by Toby Whithouse.
Oh, just not my mic, sorry.
In the previous story, the Doctor mysteriously produced a cup of tea on Skaro. In the second, he estimated how long the base had been in crisis by dipping his finger into a cup of tea. I think Stephen Moffat has a tea agenda. Clara is not everyone's cup of tea. Both this story and The God Complex were written by Toby Whithouse.
Yes.
They both featured very tall creatures.
Yes.
They both featured young women who could have been companions.
Yes.
Until they were killed by the tall creature.
Yes.
They both had a cowardly Tyvolian.
Yes.
Yes.
I think the Tyvolians must be very cunning. Otherwise, their first conquerors would have fought off any subsequent invaders. What have the Tyvolians done to all their conquerors? By coincidence, I visited Caithness in the 1980s with a relative. We both agree that it is a silly place to put a dam. It is fairly flat, has a low population, and the rivers are short. So there is no need to prevent flooding, and not much call for power generation. The mountains of Scotland are a much better place for a dam.
But for me?
The Doctor used the power cell to cause the flood. Damn blast.
Who was Joan of Arc?
Noah's wife?
The Doctor sounded a bit like Cher. If I could turn
back time. Oh, God. If I could find a
way. The Doctor broke the fourth wall by telling the viewers an idea about a time traveller visiting Beethoven.
Wasn't the viewers, apparently.
William Hartnell broke one of the walls. He had one, which was a large photograph of a load of roundels. Lum, the sign language interpreter, has fiercer eyebrows than the Doctor. Last week, there were coordinates etched inside the spaceship. Moffat haters claim the writing has been on the wall for ages. Laughing out.
Thank you, Ian.
Thank you, Captain.
At least some people can provide us with feedback. God's sake.
Back again.
Hello, Andy.
Oh. I'm back, yes.
Norman's back.
Oh, again. I think Storm again's gone back to sleep again.
Yeah, it doesn't make a difference, though. This is going to be making...
Yeah, no, I'll kick bird during the week. I mean, this is crap, this is.
What is he saying?
I don't know.
No idea.
But Ian alluded to the fact that if it goes on for much longer, he's going to seek another podcast to provide excellent feedback for.
Are there other podcasts?
Pardon?
There are other podcasts. Hang on a minute. Oh, Storm McKinnon's here. Here we go. He's right. Would you like to speak to Storm McKinnon?
Pardon?
Oh, Storm McKinnon's apparently got a clean bum.
How nice.
A Storm McKinnon with a clean bum.
Lovely. Is that going to make a difference?
Storm McKinnon. Do you want to say anything, Storm McKinnon?
Hello, Storm McKinnon.
Hang on.
He's a baby.
I know. That's why I went, hello,
Storm McKinnon. They don't purr.
She speaks baby.
Speak. Say something.
Oh, duh.
Woof. Slap him.
Right. Say something, Stormageddon.
Stormageddon.
It will say something one day, but right, not well, just
I'm,
yet.
I'm trying to put my headphones back on one hand. You're going to take it. This could be. Oh God, my glasses have gone for Burton. I've just lost my glasses. Okay, right. I've now got. Right, hang on a second. Right, microphone out of blowing nose range. I've now got little Stormageddon. In a lovely little denim outfit that's one of his aunties brought him. I don't know which one. So he's got three on my side. Oh, there you go, there you go.
Oh, you didn't hurt him just so he could cry on the podcast.
I didn't mean it. You shouldn't have slapped him.
I tell you what. You're all parents, aren't you?
Yes.
Yes.
Right. This is my first opportunity to parent. Folks, it's amazing. I never thought I'd feel this way before. I've got Dawn is staring me in sheer disbelief. She's giggling at me now. I've got this little wiggly bunch, eyes wide open. Wait, he's staring at me going,
why did Daddy, you make me cry, Daddy? Yes, I heard this.
Why did you pinch me, Daddy?
No, what are you? He's clutching my thumb. He's looking at me and it's like, Daddy, what are you doing?
Yeah, that's what I
tell you what, I wish I'd not left it this late. So I'm 50 now, fatherhood, but perhaps I wasn't ready till now.
Mm. Everything happens for a reason, Andy. Everything happens for a reason.
Yes, and I've knocked my microphone four times on this episode so far.
Our holiday next summer to come to the Isle of Wight, so we'll meet you, Adam, you, Debbie.
Can we'll you tell us when so you. I can find out when to go on my holiday?
Stormageddon is now clutching the headphone cable in one hand.
he wants to be part of this.
And he looked at me in the hand. Might as well take him, but yes. Stormageddon.
He's probably trying to stop you from reaching for another glass of whatever.
he's probably going to grow up and he's going to hate Doctor Who. He's going to hate rugby. He's going to hate cricket.
Forever the optimist, eh, Kirby?
In that case, I will now pass it back. Hang on, Mommy, a quick word.
Oh, lovely Dawn.
Hello, Dawn.
Hello, Dawn. Hello, Dawn. She's right. She's now taking Stormageddon off me again.
Dawn, can you take...
So, Dawn of a kip tonight, and I just try to look after him while I was watching the episode again. And he's called, let go of my headphone.
Right. Dawn, can you take Zach away for his own safety, please?
Yes, he's got hold of my headphones. No, I tried to watch the episode tonight, and... he was creating, shall we say. So look, I've got a big bottle. And right now, you parents, he's got a habit. He waves his arms around a lot. So it's like, I'm trying to get a bottle into his mouth. And he's waving his arms. His arms go left, right, left, right. Bang! And he's straight in. As soon as he does it, whoomph, he stops wriggling. How do you do it? Please tell me, what's the secret?
Oh, find out for yourself. It's half the fun of it. Anyway,
oh,
right.
Thank you. I'd like you to.
Moving on with the show. Right, before we move on to the next segment of this particular episode of the show,
Adam, we are now going to have a regular every week Stormageddon update.
Yeah, so. Yes. Yeah, so it's a bit like Blue Peter, isn't it? It's what, when Janet Ellis used to bring her baby onto the show and they used to have a Sophie Ellis-Bextor update. And now look at her.
Master?
Yes.
Andy was saying he wanted to know if there were other Doctor Who podcasts. Well, this evening at 8 o'clock this evening, I'm going to be guesting on the Earth Station Who podcast to discuss Before the Flood.
All right.
What? You
totally inappropriate plug. Can I get on with my show, please?
Right. I will plug us, of course.
Yeah, I'm sure you won't. I mean, right.
I bet you won't get a plug at him, are you? Thank you.
That's what he
Debbie.
Said.
Debbie. Debbie.
Yes.
Right. I'm looking for other things on the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group where people might have said something that you could slightly regard as being feedback. I noticed something from Alan T. Butcher, the possible MP that maybe the next election MP, who said that the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast, Winnie the Pooh, apparently I'm Winnie the Pooh.
Oh, yes, I saw that.
Oh, yeah.
Debbie's Piglet. Jeff Waddle is Eeyore. Robert Keynes is Kanga. Reese Parr, and Uzi is Roo. Rabbit is Mary Blitzlang. Tigger is Andy Nunny, which is quite ironic considering our old late dog before we got Magic was called Tigger. And Kirby Butler Sloan was Al. What a load of tosh. Mm.
I heard this at Dawn. Dawn actually called me Tigger. And some of my friends at work bought me a Tigger mug because apparently I am... this thing called relaxing.
Yes.
I don't quite understand this relaxing, sit down, do nothing.
I have to say, I'm more like Eeyore than Winnie the Pooh, to be fair.
Sorry, what? I lost
you. Piglet.
Yeah, I don't understand that one. But never mind. I've had a few comments after that.
It's because I hang out with you a lot and you're Pooh Bear.
Oh, Robert Haynes says he understands why Reese and he are kangaroo because they're Australian. I didn't get that one.
I don't get the rabbit reference, though.
Mm.
Yeah, why are you rabbit?
I don't know.
You as Kanga.
Yeah.
Well, rabbit was quite intelligent, wasn't he? So I suppose in that case, then, Mary, you are the more intelligent member of the community.
Oh, okay. I accept it.
I thought Al was the clever one.
With me, I'm a total lunatic who bounces around all the time. Dawn says, yes, you do.
Okay, right. We've got something from Adam Saunders. It says, God, I love that Doctor Who exists. A show that makes you think and work things out rather than spoon-feeding you everything. Jeff Waddle replied with, if you can work tonight's episode out, you're a better man than me because I thought it was utter garbage. I reckon 30 minutes of the Dalek 90 minutes was good. Crap season. Adam Saunders.
He's also written another one. I don't have a clue what the hell I've just watched. Doesn't make a bit of sense to me.
I sometimes wonder, does Jeff see the same stories we're seeing?
Jeff is Jeff.
Pardon?
What?
Is that your impression of a seal?
Do you believe?
Yeah. Right. Isn't it funny? Background. The Americans can't understand what he says. We're going to hear him quite clearly. And now he sounds like that. No, Adam Saunders replied with... No. Be quiet. Adam Saunders replied with, it all made sense to me, Jeff. I can see that it's an episode where multiple views will only improve it. I can't really understand how you aren't enjoying this series. It's pure Doctor Who at its finest.
Ooh.
Debbie Melrose said, my recording of the new episodes... keep skipping important dialogue. Arr, sounds like Andy Nunny, whose audio skips any dialogue, let alone important bits. Right then, I think it's well overdue.
Oh my goodness, me!
What?
Jeff's just commented on a little skit that I put on our Facebook group of John Pertwee's Doctor slamming the hell out of a monster. Can't remember what the monster's called, and he's written. Pertwee didn't take no crap. He'd have nutted this vagina monster from last night's episode quicker than you can say Meatballs 3.
Debbie is a sea devil. She's watching it this second. It's a sea devil.
Thank you.
Literally, I'm just watching it.
I'm shocked by what he wrote.
I don't dare click on the link because then I'd slow down my internet connection.
Can I just say about Jeff? We love Jeff. We love Jeff. Sorry, Jeff. We love you. Right, it's now time for this week's edition. If you won't get this one, be quiet.
Jeff's a nice guy. Where's my glasses, Jeff?
Anybody understand that? No, let's have a theme tune.
Add a bit.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no.
First question goes to Andy. God help us.
Okay, got him.
What album did the Doctor hold in his arms?
I know.
Oh, God, it's from the Ludwig van Beethoven.
Pardon?
Ludwig van Beethoven. It was his fifth symphony.
Ian, first. Please don't not stop listening to this show because of that appalling audio.
We got what he said.
Right, Debbie.
Yes.
Why was O'Donnell demoted?
For dangling someone out of a window.
Mary.
Okay, what?
What year did they land in?
I know.
Yes. Say that again?
What year did they land in?
Oh,
1980?
Yay!
Kirby.
Master.
How did the Doctor work out what year it was?
By licking his finger and holding it up in the wind.
Yeah.
Yes.
Andy.
It's me.
What was the funeral director's name?
God, he said his friend.
I know.
Oh,
pardon, yeah. Say that again, Andy.
His surname was Prentice.
Yeah, what was his first name?
I'm going to run down. He sounded like Arbor, something like that.
No, I'll give you that. Near enough.
No, Alba. Enough. That's a good guess, that was.
It's Alba Prentice.
Thank you.
Disappointment for Kirby. Debbie.
Yes?
And you.
Who liberated Tivoli?
I know.
The Fisher King.
Andy?
Yes, yeah, sorry, yeah.
Oh, it's audience.
Yeah, pardon, reading the wrong bit of the sentence. I wrote.
Sorry, Andy, didn't quite catch what you said because Debbie talked over you.
Arcturians.
The what?
It's like...
Oh, yeah, all right, Arcturians. Yeah,
give it to him, yes.
Thank you.
I read the wrong bit I'd written down.
That's no excuse. Uh-huh. Right, Mary.
Yeah?
What was Ghost Doctor saying? This will be interesting.
Oh, he was saying all those names.
Yes.
You want to hear all the names?
Yes.
Moran, yes. Richard, Prentice, O'Donnell, Clara, Doctor, Bennett, Cass.
Which results in an extra point.
Okay, extra points are getting all the
extra points. Yeah.
Well done. That was superb. Getting all that.
I should get an extra point.
I gave you an extra point.
Yeah. You
Adam.
Did.
Extra point for Mary.
Shut up. If everybody says that, I shall delete the extra point I've just get her. I gave her.
Oh, okay. All right.
I did give you one already.
I beg your pardon?
That's what she said.
Sorry.
Kirby. Oh, he's not answering me. I'll have to move on to the next.
What?
Oh, you are still there. Right. How did...
You didn't say my name.
You didn't say Kirby.
Oh, wait, You didn't.
Someone's just about to get a point deducted.
Who?
Somebody is.
Master.
Right. Here we go. Right. How did the Doctor refer to his regenerations?
Clerical error.
Yeah.
Right. That was going to be one of my quotes.
At this point, we can have the score update. In last place, with 1 point, it's me. In fourth place, with 2 points, it's Debbie. In joint second place, with 4 points each, it's Mary and Kirby. And in the lead, with 5 points, it's Andy.
Yeah, team.
This is Andy's question.
I got the mind right. How did I end? And with an extra point, how did I end up in second place?
Any more references to this extra point, Mary, which I've already given you, somebody will get a point well. Deducted.
You argue, well, he takes the argue. Points away. Cherish them.
Yeah, really. Well, I've got them.
Andy, what did Clara not care about?
I think it was notes, and I've got... No, I've got no idea. No notes to talk about that.
Oh, I know.
Go on then, Kirby.
Your rules are your bloody survivor's guilt.
Oh, yeah.
Well done, Kirby. Thank you.
Debbie.
Yes?
What were O'Donnell's last words?
Oh, she says, don't die.
Ooh, very good.
Wow.
Mary.
I wouldn't have been able to get that one.
Yeah, me neither.
Yeah.
Mary.
Yeah.
Mary.
Waiting.
How far back did the TARDIS take them?
I know.
Half an hour.
So does Mary.
Yeah, that was too easy. That was World of Mary.
Kirby.
Master.
What was written on the oil drums the Doctor and Bennett hid behind?
I do not know, so ooh, therefore I'm losing.
Go on then, Andy.
512.
Yeah. Excellent. Yeah. The answer was toxic waste.
Okay, I just feel like what you thought.
The 512 was on a wall.
Yeah, no, I just that'd be out.
Okay. Yeah. Right. Next question goes to Andy.
Yep.
Hang on, it can't be Andy. It was Andy's question, wasn't it?
No, it wasn't.
No, it was mine.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Right. Yeah. So, Andy, this is your question. What did the Doctor teach Clara? Probably won't get this one, hope.
Well, that's bleep.
According to the script, obviously. What did the Doctor teach Clara?
Excellent.
Go on in, Kirby.
To do what has to be done.
Oh, yeah.
Debbie.
Yes.
What was the first thing the Fisher King said to the Doctor?
Ooh.
I'm hoping I've got a one.
No, didn't say ooh, no.
It wasn't. He didn't ask how many ghosts there were.
Pardon?
No, he didn't, did he? Never mind.
Debbie, go for it.
Too late, yes. Yeah. Anybody? What was the first thing the Fisher King said to the Doctor? Nobody?
Nobody.
Good. That's what I say here. The answer was, tell me what you have seen.
God, that's a horrible question, Adam.
No, it wasn't.
Yes, it was.
It's a typical Adam question. I should have written that one.
Mary.
Debbie, give him a slap when you see him next.
Mary, yes? What would happen when the Fisher King's armada arrives?
I know.
He says, drain the oceans and put the humans in chains.
Yay! Well done, Mary. Brilliant.
Boy, I wrote that down.
Right, perfect.
Right, Kirby.
Master.
Who was in love with Cass?
Lon.
Right, so the scores with four questions left are, in last place with 4 points, it's Debbie.
Wow.
Oh, my.
This is revolutionary.
In fourth place with 5 points, it's Andy. Yes. In third place with 7 points, it's me. And joint leaders with 8 points each, it's Mary and Kirby.
Ooh, wow.
Last four questions.
It would meet Kirby, yeah.
Andy.
Yep.
How did the Fisher King assess the Time Lords?
Cowardly, vain curators.
Good for you.
Right, for a bonus point, what was the rest of that line?
Oh, you suddenly remembered...
You know what? I didn't...
Let her speak. Debbie, carry on.
Who suddenly remembered they have teeth. That's as far as I got in writing.
Okay, I'll give you a point for that.
Yeah. Right.
Anybody for the last part of that line?
I wish I'd written down the rest of it because it was a great sentence. But
it was the first quote, and I got halfway through it, then saw it and started creating.
It's what I guess that nobody else has got that one then.
No.
The full line was, cowardly vain curators who suddenly remembered they had teeth and became the most warlike race in the galaxy.
That's it, yeah.
Yeah, it was a great
line. Yeah.
Debbie.
Yes.
What did the Doctor say the future might be ruled by if he causes the ripple effect?
I know.
Hello. Cats.
Hang on. Whose question is this?
Cats.
Actually, no. Come on.
I mean, actually, what's no. Come on.
Quote? What's the full quote?
That'll do.
The universe may be ruled
That's
by
all
cats.
That's all that's needed.
Yeah.
That is a question.
It was a little bit more than that. I'm going to be Kirby. I want to be really pedantic here.
It's irrelevant. You're not going to get any more points for it. Right.
What was the full quote?
I don't know.
I can't remember.
Cats or something.
Okay, right. Thank you. Cats or something. Right. Yes,
I still get my 2 points and I'm still losing. Yeah,
that's more picky than Mary. I would have been.
Yes.
Mary.
Mary.
Yeah. Mary.
I've got it bloody well written down here. Cats
Mary.
Or something. I'm having it.
Mary.
Yes.
Which security protocol was announced by the TARDIS Dr. Hologram?
I know.
Emergency message 712.
Yes.
Stow luggage and prepare for departure.
That was
brilliant. Yes, you don't got it all get down. Any extra points of that. It was like 712 was the answer.
He happened to ask what I actually wrote down, which is rarely what he asks.
Should be. Okay, right then. This is Kirby's question, and the last question Master. Of the game. What did the doctor say he... Sorry, I'll say that again. What was the doctor... Too much minstella. What did the doctor say as he sprung out of the chamber?
I know.
Something about morning breath?
No, precisely. Yes. What did he say?
It, yeah.
Don't kiss me, morning breath.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes, indeed.
Yes. Yes.
So the scores are... In joint second place are Andy, Debbie, and me with 7 points each. And the joint lead with 10 points each is Mary and Kirby, which obviously means we have to have a tiebreaker.
Oh, hang on, excuse me. Where was I?
Yeah, where's Andy?
What do you mean, where's Andy?
You just said in joint second place was
Andy,
me.
Debbie, and me.
Oh, okay.
That's what I said. Please pay attention.
We never heard me.
Yeah, where's Andy?
Well, if you listen and stop talking over me, you'd heard it, wouldn't you? Right then. I still don't know. Shut up.
He's level pegging with me and Adam.
Thank you.
Yeah, second place, like I said, if you listen. Right. This is a top trumps card I have in my hand here.
And so I'm, you and Mary, Kirby.
Right. Yes. Right, I'm going to read the blurb on it without saying the name of the character.
Dun, 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 dun,
and you've got to get the name of the character correctly. Right? Correctly. If you get it wrong, nobody gets anything.
What? Explain.
Oh, for Christ's sake. Right.
Tiebreaker.
This is a tiebreaker, Kirby.
Okay, is this going to be...
If you let me speak, for goodness sake.
Kirby, for once, can it.
It's a top trump card with some blurb on it about the character it relates to. I'm going to read the blurb, and the first one to come in with, you know, the... This is between Mary and Kirby, by the way, so that everybody else can shut up. We'll get the point. Okay, I'll start reading it. I'm going to obviously blank out words that might give it away too easily. Highly intelligent, extremely brave, and very witty. Burp, burp. Helps save the doctor, but is unaware of her terrible reality, as her mind has shut out the awful truth.
Uh-huh.
Pardon? You're not in it. Shut up. She has sent a distress signal that the doctor receives, but he realizes sadly that not everyone can be saved. Right, that's between Mary and Kirby. It's not that difficult because Debbie got it before I finished the sentence.
Is it Clara?
Near enough. I'm not going to do another one. Near enough. It's Oswin Oswald.
If it's near, who is it?
Oswin, yeah.
Okay.
That's near enough. Same actress, okay. It's near enough. That wins the quiz for this week. Mary, well done.
Yay! Well done.
Woo!
Sorry to listeners that keep hearing dings in the background.
I'm worn out from my victory lap. I never win.
You've won before.
What, about 100 years ago?
Yes, I want to apologise to listeners who can keep hearing pings going off in the background. Debbie Melrose thinks it's a good idea to send messages to everybody who happens to be on the show at the moment that she can actually speak to. So she's just sending messages to them and they're coming up on my iPhone.
And I'm responding.
Right then.
Thank you.
Doctor Who News. Derek Ware has passed away. Right, Kirby will now tell me who Derek Ware is. I know actually who he is. I just want Kirby to have a chance to be a smarty pants. Oh, he's gone. That makes sense. Debbie Melrose will tell me who...
I'm looking up who he was.
What? Debbie, who's Derek Ware?
Past friend.
Pardon?
I'm just looking him up.
What?
That's what she said.
People are scrambling to find him.
Exactly what he does. He did. He did.
Oh, he formed Havoc. Okay.
Yeah. Yes. What's the matter with you lot?
We're still breathing.
Pardon me. So I blame that one on Kirby.
Excuse me, sir.
More tea, Vicar.
See, I needed to cry Havoc.
Oh,
sorry. Tumbleweed.
Very sharp, Kirby.
It wasn't. It was very poor. Okay, Doctor Who News.
Where are the dogs this evening? They're the dogs of war. You need to let them loose.
Where's the flock these days?
Can I get on with the news? Doctor Who has to be voted for in the National Television Awards if you happen to be living in Great Britain. Otherwise,
yeah, unfortunately, we can't vote.
Otherwise, rubbish programmes will win that particular award. That's for drama category. And for Best Actor as well. So look for Peter Capaldi and for Doctor Who in the National Television Awards vote. It's only a few days left on that, actually. So 18th of October it closes. If you go to... actually, Google National Television Awards and you'll get a link to vote. Debbie, please do that. Mm-hmm. You live in Great Britain. Andy, please do that. Vote Doctor Who. Vote Peter Capaldi. Doesn't matter about the other things. You can vote whatever you like on all the other programmes. Although I did vote Anton Deck twice because I like Anton Deck.
You're sad.
No, I'm correct. Nothing wrong with Anton Deck.
Yes, you're sad.
Yes, so what else we got here? A special screening of The Magician's Apprentice. Hang on, that's been on ages ago. There's a blue plaque, apparently. Verity Lambert, OBE, film and television producer, worked here. I wonder where that is then. Debbie, where's that?
Riverside.
Riverside? Riverside where? Oh, geez, it's gone quiet now.
It's the Riverside Studios.
What, in Manchester?
I don't know.
Oh, well, thanks for your help.
Lynn, don't speak up.
Do I have to do this show on my own?
The plaque says Riverside Studios. I don't know where that is. But
Debbie, where's Riverside Studios?
It was Manchester.
Thank you,
It
Debbie.
Says Hammersmith.
Oh, Riverside Studios. That's where the Anton Deck show's done, isn't it, Debbie?
I thought, did they move it?
Move what?
The studio.
What, from Manchester to London?
Yeah.
Highly doubt it.
Oh,
no. So Riverside Studios has always been in London.
Oh, there you go, Debbie. You silly
goodness.
Woman. How could you get that one wrong?
That's going to be the American where everything
is. I'm thinking about something completely different.
Right, there's going to be commentaries released for Enemy of Drinking Too Much Stella and the...
Of the Drinking Too Much Stella?
Yeah, and the Web of Fear.
Oh, good.
Toby Haydoke.
Oh, brilliant.
Toby Haydoke, patron of the show. What's his status? I think it's patron, isn't it? He will be doing the interviews. Now, did I say on the show last week that I communicated Mr. Haydoke? Or did
yes.
I just...
Yes,
did
you
I?
Did, yes.
I did. I'll shut up then. Right. Before the flood, overnight viewing figures. Not bad, actually, before they add up all the online hits and the...
But all these rumours...
Did you let me finish a sentence? Online hits and, you know, delayed watchings because of iPlayer. 4.38 million. So that's pretty good considering there was a stupid rugby match on the other side and Strictly Come Dancing had made it a bit late.
Well, didn't they release some sort of spiel about the fact that Doctor Who is safe until 2020 at least?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, it would be.
But I'd like it to be safe a bit longer.
There's all these rumours that because of the quote low viewing figures that they're going to have only specials next year.
What a load of trash.
Yeah.
Well, if they're still making it, either way. A photograph of the complete Web of Fear and Enemy of the World cans released. A photograph of some dusty cans.
It could be anything.
Gripped the Doctor Who world.
Actually, they took that picture way back when. I've seen this photo before.
Did they? Have you?
Yes.
Marvellous. Well, that concludes news. Unless yes, anybody knows anything else. Nope, maybe everybody's gone quiet again. Doesn't work particularly well on audio presentations. Normally Debbie knows something that we don't know. But obviously not on this occasion.
I've said it all, and I'm completely lost in my geography anyway at the moment. So just carry on.
Yes, you're on the Isle of Wight, dear.
You said it all, you crazy.
Right, there's some stuff on whoon.co.uk. Don't say it, please. Thank you. Forsaken.
Is that whoon.co.uk?
Kirby, push socket.
Whoon.co.uk, could it?
Saying it for how many years, so why have I got to stop?
Shut up. When the page first loaded in my not drunken state but slightly tipsy state, I saw that title of that production by Justin Richards, and I thought it said Foreskin, but no, it says Forsaken, which is a second Doctor story.
Don't go there, please, Mary.
But quite ironically, the title of the next one underneath it is called Black Hole.
Mary, no, stop it now.
Why have we got a link of the Riverside Studios just sent via this private 20 megabyte messaging system? Does it really matter? That's whoon.co.uk.
The Kirby, it does, yeah.
Christmas is coming, listeners.
Well, fine,
no. And I'll just let them carry on talking about rubbish while I talk about the anything important things of this episode. The Doctor Who Annual, great gift for Doctor Who fans, £7.99 from Who Won Doctor Who, a Doctor UK. The Dangerous Book of Monsters by Justin Very Busy Richards. But he hasn't got much of a life, really, Justin Richards. He's too busy writing. Wish I had time to write stuff. And Tom Spilsbury has produced another Doctor Who magazine issue 491. We're nearly catching up with them, you know, the issues. It doesn't work when you talk over each other. Start again.
Stormageddon was sent that as a present from his great uncle and aunt.
Good. Mary?
Master.
Hang on, Mary was first.
No,
Kirby.
I don't know what you guys were talking about because I had to mute myself. I've got to get off. I've got to go help my wife unload the car with groceries. Okay. So, bye.
Very domestic.
Bye.
Right, now we can talk about
it. Adam, I was asking, since we're talking about writing and all that, do you have any other projects in process?
I would have if I had time, but no.
Okay.
I think I'm going to publish my notes.
I must admit, all these quizzes I'm doing, I will eventually have a quiz for every single Doctor Who story going, but I'd have to edit it because obviously a lot of them are aimed at you, so I'd have to sort of take some questions out. It'd still be quite difficult, but as it's aimed at Doctor Who fans, I would hope that Doctor Who fans would know a bit about Doctor Who. Actually, I could call it a new fact book, couldn't I, instead of a quiz. Or fact and quiz book, maybe. But that won't be out for several years, because we've got several years of reviews of classic stories to do in the forthcoming return to the much popular series called The Journey. Well, obviously, we've got about 10 weeks. So, do you know, we're really nearly halfway through Doctor Who. To the end of this next story, we'll be halfway through the series. That was quick, wasn't it?
That's right, we will be.
Anyway, that's whoon.co.uk.
Right, hang on, folks. No. Hang on, folks. Stormageddon's come back again. What is Stormageddon going to say?
Don't make him cry again. It's upsetting.
Hello, Stormageddon. Want to say something? Can we say something? Can we hear that?
Oh, I heard a little gooey. That's much more better than the crying.
That's Stormageddon. He's just saying something. Yeah, he's fast asleep.
He talks in his sleep already? Ooh. Lord. Don't smack him.
What's on the table? No.
Right.
No, it's got a milky they drink. Yeah.
Bitty bitty.
All right, hang on. I've now got him. Oh, blimey. This could be interesting. He's now sort of, what the hell are you doing, mate?
Well, it would be very funny if he decided to be sick all over you.
Bitty. I would say that part of your... Hello, Stormageddon. Hello, mate.
Bitty, bitty.
Anyway, right. Lavazzi.co.uk have a range of scarves that make ideal Christmas presents, especially if you want to buy them for me. Specifically, the Season 18 scarf, which is what I want, but it's on sale. I might have to buy that before it all goes. At £29.99. Maybe Deb will let me buy it before we go to the Doctor Who Festival.
That's not bad. That's not a bad price.
It's an excellent price. Also, the Fifth Doctor cricket jumper, which is £39.99.
You play cricket?
Have in the past, but not at the moment.
When?
Oh, a while back. When I was... We had Osborne Coburn Football Club, which was a football team I played for in my youth. During the closed season, we used to have a cricket match against West White Cricket Club. So the Coburg football team would play a cricket match against the West White cricket team.
Did you win?
Can't remember. We didn't do too badly against them. Bearing in mind a lot of our players were cricket players anyway. Just happened to play football during the football season and cricket during the cricket season. But I did. Andy Potts was a particularly good cricketer on the Isle of Wight in those days, and I did bowl him out because he got too cocky during my one over, and my awkward bowling action caused him to slice a shot into the slips. So, but the benefit of that was that when I became manager of Calbourne Football Club, he was an excellent footballer as well. He signed for us. And that led to a few other really good players signing for us and refusing to play for the first team. And our reserve team at Calbourne became quite good as a result. So, yeah. Anyway, that's enough of that. The cricket jumper. The Seventh Doctor jumper. It's absolutely fantastic. I can't wait to start wearing it again, Debbie. That's it, really. I can't think of anything else to talk about. Next week, we'll be recording on Sunday again, where we will be reviewing the next episode of Doctor Who, which I expect Debbie knows the title of. Oh, no, she doesn't.
Episode 5.
Pardon?
Doctor Who, episode 5.
Shush. What's that mean? Debbie, what did you say?
You said it was episode 5.
Oh, for God's sake.
Thank you, Debbie. Shut up, little thing.
I usually write it down so I'm ready, but no, I didn't this time.
Yeah, I had no idea.
That may be a problem for me because I burned last night before I had to go back to work after 3 weeks off a lovely holiday with a newborn baby.
Do you know what your work colleagues will be singing as you walk through the door?
Yes, I'll be on the train. At 6:53,
they'll all be singing and dancing and.
No, on a cycle to the station. I'll left home at 6:20.
Yeah, that's what they'll be saying as you walk through the door.
I home at 6:20 in the morning, got my bicycle, stopped at the station, got the train. I think it might be I will get to Waterloo Station at 7:34. It'll be Kate and Sarah,
thank you for listening to the show. And goodbye. Yeah, it's now time for Isabella's input. Now, we bring Isabella onto the show when a story has come to its completion.
Banana.
Pardon?
Banana.
We're not talking about the minion. Right. Last week, Isabella, you were trying to be all cocky and brave. This is last week, not this week.
Yeah.
And decided to watch Doctor Who before you went to bed because you were all grown up and... I were quite sure that it wasn't going to scare you, but what actually happened?
It did scare me. So, and I didn't get to sleep for 8 hours at night.
Yes, you did.
No, I didn't, Dad.
Yes, you did. I would have heard... When I was in bed later that evening, I heard snoring from your bedroom. Therefore, you were asleep. So you were
asleep. What time's that?
Well, I went to bed about 11. And you were asleep. So, anyway.
I was faking it.
What
I always do.
In particular, mm-hmm. made you so scared that you felt like you couldn't get off to sleep? What about it? What sort of things were going through your mind?
It's just kind of creepy, actually. Because these guys, you just don't know. You know how they die, but how did the Victorian... Well, it's not a Victorian one anyway. But how did that... The first one, die.
Did you not see episode 2?
The beginning, no. You wouldn't know how they die, but then the doctor somehow appears.
So what was the bit that, you know, you were in bed and you're on your own and you're getting scared because you keep thinking about this episode. What was the part of it that you couldn't get out of your mind that was making you not be able to get off of sleep, that was scaring you, that you actually got up and said you were actually quite upset and said you couldn't get off to sleep?
It's just the look on the ghosts. I didn't know where they were trying to kill people.
The look of the ghosts? What do you mean, the look of the ghosts?
So, no eyes, and just, like, weapons that they want to try and kill these people. I don't know why.
Right, so what stage did you realise that you were actually quite scared by the episode? Is that when you went to bed, when you couldn't get it out of your mind, or while watching it?
While watching it.
Okay. So, was it the first ghost, or was it later on when you saw the ghost of the Tervillian character with the top hat, or was it when the doctor appeared at the end, appearing to be dead?
All of them.
All of them. Right. Anything in particular that was particularly scary?
Them trying to kill people.
Well, yeah, so they're essentially monsters, aren't they? So that was episode one. You watched episode two
yeah.
in the morning to make sure that it would be
that
out of
one,
your mind by the end of the day.
That one was quite better explaining what happened.
So the fact that this was playing over and over in your mind must mean you have a pretty good recollection of what the story was about.
Why do I have to say the story?
Pardon?
Why do I have to say the story? I just want it out of my head because I don't want to. I just don't want to talk about it.
Do you realise you may have to watch this again one day?
Dang it!
Could you watch it again one day?
But. It has to be in the morning, though.
Yeah, so you would be able to watch. You're not going to completely chicken out of watching it again one day, like Alicia did with Empty Child Doctor Dances.
I want to watch that.
You want to watch that one, do you?
Yes.
Okay. You can watch that one in a minute.
Now?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
So, an hour and a half later, you have watched... You don't even know what it's called, do you?
Empty Child? The Empty Child?
Well, it was an empty child, yeah. The empty child doctor dances. Right, now you're trying to pretend that you didn't find it scary, aren't you? Because you want to outdo your sister.
It wasn't, Dad. Seriously.
So you didn't find any of it creepy?
Nope.
Were you actually watching it?
Yes. It's really cool.
It was really cool. So it was a good story.
Yeah.
So you managed to watch what was essentially a Doctor Who movie and not be bored by it.
Yeah.
That's an achievement in itself, isn't it?
Wait, so...
What if you watched it at bedtime?
Huh?
What if you'd watched it at bedtime?
I think I've watched that episode I've just watched before.
No, you haven't.
Wait. Yeah, I have.
Wait. No, you haven't.
Yeah, I have.
Right, what's the story about them?
So it's about,
Wait.
Let me think.
You've got to think. You've only watched it 5 minutes ago, and you've got to think what the story was about.
Yeah, Rose and a doctor, time travelled to World War II, and the doctor gets this phone call, and it kept saying, "Mummy, you're my mummy." And he didn't quite understand. So, wait, that was after when he went into the bar, but Rose spotted a child on the roof.
Right.
But she was wondering why it had a gas mask on. So
it was
she,
the war.
Yeah. Yeah,
yeah right,
but
no,
it was literally stuck to him.
Okay, yes, carry on.
She tried to climb up and she got caught. Wait, she was climbing up this rope, but then she realised it was like this balloon thingy.
Yes.
Yeah, and she was flying in the
air. I think they're called barrage balloons. They're designed to stop bombers.
Yeah, I think, yeah, it might have been barrage balloons. Yeah, and then that's when she did slip. She couldn't hold on anymore, so she slipped. And then that's when she met Captain Jack. Yeah, and then the doctor goes to this hospital and there's a doctor there with all the and there were other people with the gas mask, just like the boy.
Yes.
And he thought that he was, they were all dead, but the person that was there and said that they were alive. Then he just launched a bucket. Launched a bucket, like.
No, you've lost me on that one.
Just kicked a bucket then.
Oh, kicked a bucket, right?
Yeah, and then they all woke up, but then they went back to sleep again.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. And this girl, she's looking after these children, and the child was her little brother, Jamie, but it wasn't actually.
Mm-hmm.
She was actually her son.
Right.
Yeah, and he's been always going after her.
Right.
But he doesn't know who she is.
Okay.
So she's like tried. She kept on running away because she didn't want to tell him the truth because she thought that she would turn into one of them.
Okay.
So then the girl was in the house where they fed the children, and the child just went inside the house. She hid it under the table, but then all the others woke up in the hospital and were after Jack Rays and the doctor, but her son was after her. So then on the next one, it's continuing, and the doctor shouted, "I'm disappointed in you all. Go to your room." And that's what they did. Well, the hospital went to the bed, but the boy just walked out.
Right, okay.
Yeah, and...
Yeah?
Yeah. So then they... the girl wants to find out where she knew what it was, but how he died. So she went to the place where he died, but she got caught. So she had to go into this place with one of the soldiers who were ill, but actually was going to turn into one of the people with the masks. So she was in quite big trouble then.
Mm-hmm.
And then Captain Jack went up to, I think it was his friends or one of his soldiers. But then his soldier went, "Are you my mummy?" And then turned into the gas mask person. Yeah.
Right.
But the doctor could hear some singing, so he went to the place where the girl was, and she was trying to sing like the person's a lullaby, because he was the only way to not harm you is to make them feel relaxed.
Okay.
Yeah. So the doctor quickly got her out, and I forgot the rest of it, but I know at the end that she admitted to her son that she was his mother. So then took the mask, but then there was like this spell all around them.
It wasn't a spell, it was nanogenes.
Yeah. Then the doctor pulled the mask off and Jamie, and he's back to normal. And then the doctor put it in, like, what was it again?
What?
Then the doctor put, like...
Nanogenes,
over the other people. Then they turned back to normal as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so... The end.
Okay. Wait, no. Captain Jack was in a ship and it was going to explode. And then the Rose and the Doctor came and just managed to save him one time before it exploded.
And that's all right then, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So what was the best part of this particular story?
That it wasn't scary.
So the story itself wasn't particularly good then?
It was really good.
There must be something, some part of it that you liked specifically.
The Doctor himself. He's funny.
The whole thing. Do you like the Ninth Doctor then?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you, Isabella. See you in a couple of weeks' time.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Doctor Who podcast is an APB Services production and is a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.